Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, The Churning of the Milk Ocean, text number 22. Only a translation there. Someone may have longevity, but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Śukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is self-sufficient. Since he is fully independent, he is not in want of support or the association of Lakshmi Devi. Nonetheless, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, accepted him as her husband. Text 24, approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the goddess of fortune placed upon his shoulders the garland of newly grown lotus flowers, which was surrounded by humming bumblebees, searching for honey. Thus expecting to get a place on the bosom of the Lord, she remained standing by his side, her face smiling in shyness. Text 25. Tasya Sriyastri Jagato Janako Jananya. Raksho Nivasam Akarod Paramam Vibhute. Sri Swaprajaka Sakarunena. Nirvikshanena. Yatra sita I sitai dayata sadipatim strilokan. Tasya of her. Sriya, the goddess of fortune, Tri Jagataha, of the three worlds, Janaka, the father, Jananya, of the mother, Vakshaha, bosom, Nivasam, residence, Akarot, made, Paramam, supreme, Vibhute, of the opulent, Sriha, the goddess of fortune, Swa, own, Praja, descendants, Sakurunena, with favorable mercy, Nirikshanena, by glancing over, Yatra, herein, Stita, staying, Adayata, increased, Sadipatin, with the great directors and leaders, Trilokan, the three worlds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Father of the three worlds, and His bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the Goddess of Fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The Goddess of Fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Purport. According to the desire of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made his bosom her residence. So by her glance, she could favor everyone, including the demigods and ordinary human beings. In other words, since the goddess of fortune stays on the bosom of Narayan, she naturally sees any devotee who worships Narayan. When the goddess of fortune understands that a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayan, she is naturally inclined to bless the devotee with all opulences. The karmis try to receive the favor and the mercy of Lakshmi, but because they are not devotees of Narayan, their opulence is flickering. The opulence of devotees who are attached to the service of Narayan is not like the opulence of karmis. The opulence of devotees is as permanent as the opulence of Narayan himself. Just a few words and we'll keep on reading. According to Parasara Muni, opulence means, main opulences are Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashastriyaha Yana Vairagyas Chaiva Shana Bhanga Hitingavaha. That Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Aishvarya, the opulence or wealth, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya, and complete, Krishna has his opulence is incomplete. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Virya means strength. Yashasha, fame. Striyaha, beauty. Jnana, knowledge. Vairagya. Jnana Vairagya. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasha Striyaha. Jnana Vairagya Vairagya. What's the next word? Tinganaha. No, that's the last word. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashastriyaha Jnana Vairagya Nishchaiva. That doesn't sound. What's that? Yushtaiva. And then? Shana Vairagya is the Tinganaha. In any case, there is strength, there is beauty, there is wealth, there is knowledge, there is renunciation, and there's fame. These things come along with a material body, but as we know, after we leave this body, these things are left behind. And not only that, but we're falsely identifying with these opulences. In other words, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sanavishto Matak Smritir Jnanam Aponam Cha. That Krishna is in our heart, and he's the one who's supplying with remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Tesham Sadatam Yukta Gya'a, and then it says, Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam. It's Krishna who's giving us intelligence to advance in devotional service. These things are not coming by our own merit. They're coming by Krishna's mercy. Krishna doesn't have to give us remembrance. If he doesn't give us remembrance, he doesn't get penalized and thrown in jail. Nor does he get. So, everything is coming by Krishna's mercy, and it's coming according to Krishna's reciprocating with our desire eternally. But when we desire material opulence, then it's only going to last as long as our body lasts. And not only that, but when we get anything in the material world, then according to how we utilize it, we get a reaction. So now I may be very wealthy, but if materially speaking, but if I don't utilize it properly, then the next lifetime I become poverty-stricken. So I may think I'm very beautiful, I'm very wealthy, I'm very strong, I'm very knowledgeable, I'm very renowned, I'm very famous, but this will not last very long. Prabhupada would always use the example of JFK, John F. Kennedy, that apparently he had all the opulence that one could desire. He had fame, he had beauty, he had wealth, he seemed to me have some knowledge, but within 1 second it was all taken away. And where is JFK now? Just like, where is all these big leaders in the past, including all the Brahmas? It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that each one of us at one time were either a Brahma or a highly placed demigod. And now look where we are. So, any opulence in the material world is just temporary. And therefore, it's not considered to be very valuable. What to speak of the opulences on this planet, which only lasts for one moment in the life of Brahma, and the life of Brahma is only one moment in the life of Krishna. And we think that we're very important, etc., etc. Whereas Prabhupada was talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time, and he said that in the spiritual world there's a planet called Goloka Vrindavan, and that is so big that all the Vaikuntha planets could actually fit into that one planet. And each Vaikuntha planet is bigger than all the material worlds put together. And in the spiritual world, sometimes a little cloud forms, and in that cloud, Mahavishnu lies down, and from his body expands, and from his breathing expands unlimited universes coming out through the pores of his body, which are just like seeds, unlimited seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. And in the smallest of all those universes, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, as he enters into all the other universes, he also enters into this universe, which is the smallest of all the universes. And there from his navel sprouts a Brahma who has four heads. And inside that lotus flower, Brahma creates all the universe, all the planets. And however you want to look at it, in this one planet that we're on, whether it's part of Bhumandala or Bhardvarsha, whatever, this one little area that we're in, there are so many continents. And one of those continents is called North America. And in North America, there are so many different states, and one of them is called California, and in California, there's one city called Los Angeles. Los Angeles is one street called La Cienega Boulevard, and there's so many houses on La Cienega Boulevard, and in one of those houses, there's a temple, and in that temple, there's one temple commander named Tamal Krishna, and he thinks he's controlling everything. So more or less, we're an illusion. We're not controlling even this body. Rishikesha, Sevaya, Bhakti Uchite. The only thing we can control is our destination. If we agree to surrender to Krishna, then we can go back to the spiritual world. And if we don't, then we agree to surrender to our mind and senses, then we come back here for repeated birth and death. But how is it that the opulences of the devotees are eternal? As Krishna says, Neha bikramanashosti pradyavayona vidite swapamapya siddharmasya trayate mahatobayat. That on this path, there's no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. In other words, if we start waking up, then there's a chance of getting our real opulences, which is ultimately its love of God. The spiritual world, there is no need to be super strong. What are you going to do with your strength? Everything there is alive, and they all have the same opulence you have. You don't have to. There's no need to be famous because everyone. If you go to Vaikuntha, everyone looks like Narayan. What are you going to be famous for? Not everyone there, it looks like Narayan, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But no one there is trying to be famous except for Narayan. He's not even trying. And as far as wealth, What are you going to buy in Vaikuntha? What is there to buy? No shopping malls. And whatever you want, if you go to Copper Viksha Tree, at least in Goloka Vrindavan, they don't ask for computers. They just ask for some leaves or flowers to serve Krishna with. You don't need any money there. But no one feels insecure because there's no need for any money. So the wealth really is in service to Krishna. And at least here, for instance, Hanuman had great strength, but he utilized it simply to serve Krishna. He didn't fight with Lord Ramachandra. He didn't even fight with Jambavan. He simply lifted up the mountain and brought it to serve Lakshman. So therefore his strength was utilized in Krishna's service. So here, whatever we're offered, then we can utilize that in Krishna's service. But the idea is that that's spiritual. The service is spiritual. And strength and wealth, these are all relative things. They're supplied to Krishna just as much as we need them. Just like Arjuna was such a great warrior, apparently he defeated so many other Maharathis, including Bhishma Dev and Karna, etc. And yet at one time when Krishna wanted, he withdrew all his opulence, and apparently he could not even defeat some aborigine cowherd men who were trying to take away Krishna's wives. Of course, there's another purport to that. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But in any case, apparently Arjuna had lost all his power and potency. His Gandiva bow became useless. Just like he compares it to throwing clarified butter, which we call ghee, on ashes. What is the value of throwing clarified ghee on ashes? And the ashes can't burn the ghee. Or sowing seeds in a barren field. Or there's one other analogy. You remember what the analogy is? Some bad magic wand. Magic wand or something. Anyhow, whatever. Apparently he lost all his potency. Indeed, he didn't lose his Krishna consciousness though. So Krishna gives us as much in this world as we need for his service, but ultimately we don't need anything for Krishna's service. We just need it. In other words, if Krishna takes everything away, it's not that he takes away our devotional service. One can still think about Krishna in any circumstance. One can serve Krishna within the core of his heart, and that attitude of service is what Krishna actually accepts. He doesn't exactly accept what we're doing externally, although what we're doing externally means that we must have some desire to serve Krishna. Krishna accepts that service, but the actual advancement is not the expertise in our service, it's the advancement in our desire to serve Krishna under all circumstances. The intensity of a desire depends upon how intense Krishna is pleased. Not exactly the results of our work, because the results are created by Krishna himself. He doesn't need any of us to create the results. He can create universes just by his breathing. What does he need us to do anything? But he appreciates our desire to try to serve him. And that desire, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mayevana adatsva, mayi buddhena misheshaya, nivashishashimam eva, atarvam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, and gave all your intelligence to me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. Atachitam samadhatum nishakshna sima istiram abhyasena yogena tatomam ischantum dhananjaya. But if you can't fix your mind upon me without deviation, then simply engage yourself in sadhana bhakti or devotional service, and this way try to develop the desire to obtain me. That's what we're trying to achieve, trying to awaken our desire to obtain Krishna, which is generally done by Krishna sees, according to our sincerity, how much steadily we're engaged in Krishna service, how enthusiastic we're engaged in Krishna service, and then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then he gives us the intelligence to make progress towards developing a desire to obtain him, how to improve our service. When he sees that we're making an effort to do steady, enthusiastic service, then he gives us more and more intelligence how to do more and more steady and enthusiastic devotional service. And when he sees that we're accepting the intelligence he's giving us, then he reveals himself to us and takes away all the impediments that would stand as an obstacle for our steady and enthusiastic service. Gradually he does that. And gradually we can think about him more consistently, more deeply, and that way we make progress in devotional service. So that doesn't depend upon exactly which service we're doing, depends upon our service attitude. Steadily, anyone can be steadily engaged, and anyone can be enthusiastically engaged, including the little, I guess it was a rabbit or whatever, a squirrel, who was helping Lord Ramachandra build the bridge over Lanka, over to Lanka. Hanuman was throwing in big boulders into the ocean, and the little squirrel was throwing little stones. And Hanuman told the little squirrel, "Move away, you're interfering with my work." And Lord Ramachandra came over and chastised Hanuman, saying, "Actually, the squirrel is doing as much for me as you are." So we can't judge things exactly by position or by accomplishment, although we do want to accomplish things for Krishna. But ultimately, Krishna will judge things according to our steadiness, a willingness to surrender, and our enthusiasm to do so, our giving up our causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna, is what Krishna is trying to help accomplish. And so that even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Then it says, Sarvani Karmani, my... It's that verse about how Krishna comes and saves the soul. It's in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yetu sarvani karmani maya sanyasya matparaha anani naiva yogena mam dayantu upasate te shamaham samudartha mriti samsara sagara bhavami nacharat partha maya veshita chetasaha. One who's yetu sarvani karmani, one who's engage my service, renouncing the fruits of his work. Do you remember which chapter that's in?
12, 6.
Oh, it is. But those who worship me, giving up all activities in me, devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditate upon me, who has fixed their minds upon me, to them I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So that's what we want to be. We want to be delivered from the ocean of birth and death. And here is the formula. Yetu sarvani karmani. For one who's dedicated all his activities to me, maya sanyasya matparaha, who's renounced all material activities, Yetu sarvani karmani maya sanyasya matparaha anane naivam yogena, who's always meditating upon me, has fixed his mind upon me without deviation. For him I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So if we want to get delivered from the ocean of birth and death, here's the formula. It doesn't depend upon material opulence, it depends upon spiritual opulence. Spiritual opulence of fixing the mind upon Krishna, developing desire to serve him. Ultimately, it's by understanding Krishna properly, by hearing from the right person, and surrendering to that message, then we get the real opulence, which is Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada was asked one time if he could show his mystic power, and Prabhupada said that, actually, he pointed to all his disciples and said, "This is my mystic power." That previously they were all, some of them at least, maybe you said all of them, were all drug-induced hippies. But now they're all devotees of Krishna, and they're all dancing like jubilant peacocks, chanting Hare Krishna. He said, that's my mystic potency. I've been able to turn hippies into happies. So our real opulence will be the depth of our devotional service, not what we've accumulated during this lifetime in terms of any of the external material opulences, but the real opulence of devotion to Krishna. And then one gets unlimited opulences. Whatever one needs, Krishna will supply. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate te sham niti biyuktanam ye yoga shemam vahamyaham. For those who are constantly devoted to me, meditating by my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and they preserve what they have. So Krishna will give us, for instance, Prabhupada was asked, does the spiritual master know everything about his disciples? And Prabhupada's response was, he knows as much as Krishna wants him to know, as much as Krishna thinks he should know. That's how much he knows. So we're not going to become Krishna, unlimited opulence, but Krishna will give us whatever we actually need for our service, and that will be perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Acharya's comment about these personalities from verse 22, from Lakshmi Devi Swayamvara, she said that some do live long, unlike demons, some demons, but they don't have good behavior. So Sridhar Swami says, like Markandeya, he lives very long, but his behavior is not very pleasing for a householder. Or
okay.
And Vishnachakravarti Thakur says, like Bali Maharaj, who is nice, but he has to be an Asura king, so he has to fight with Indra, not very auspicious. And someone has both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Vishnachakravarti Thakur says, Manu's sons and grandsons. They have only human longevity. Humans, they don't live long. And such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, but they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. Also not very pleasing. So these are some of the
comments.
I have a question, yes. So you mentioned Arjuna, that he relinquished his worldly or powers within this material world, but his Krishna consciousness remained intact. That's the main thing. One can do different services. But also it seems that they walked till they dropped dead at a certain point. They decided that this is it, and they just departed. So why wouldn't they, for example, continue teaching, preaching, or doing something else, and they just started walking north?
Because they were, that wasn't their, Kshatriyas aren't preachers. Their duty is to go into the forest and live out their lives. So that's what they did. Go to some sacred place and live out their lives in Krishna consciousness. The Kshatriyas don't take sannyas. It's the sannyasis who are the preachers. Anything else?
From Vallabhi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, sometimes it is said that if a devotee has many disciples, he must be a great devotee. But isn't that also an external result?
Well, Shubhaktivinoda Thakura said that one can understand who's a Mahabhagavat by his ability to convert many souls to become Vaishnavas. But just initiating people sitting on a fire sacrificing, throwing grains in, doesn't make you a great devotee. There may be many reasons why people become attracted to someone. It's not only because they're generally neophyte devotees, they're not interested at the beginning of becoming pure devotees. They're interested in some material benefit. But if one can actually change even an ordinary devotee and make them into a pure devotee, a real Vaishnava, then that's a manifestation of his advancement and his potency. Just like Narada Muni was praised by Parvati Muni because his ability to convert a hunter into a real Vaishnava. Or Haridasa Thakura, his ability to turn a prostitute into an actual Vaishnavi. Something you can see. But just by getting the number of disciples, Durvasa Muni had 40,000. Didn't mean, but he also got into trouble with Ambarish Maharaj because he couldn't control his anger. Okay, anything else? Yes, we have. Yeah, right here. Here. Go around. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about why does the Lakshmi Devi accept Mukunda? Why is Krishna named as Mukunda in that? Because normally it's Lakshmi Narayan.
Mukunda Narayan, whatever, the same person. Why is he called Mukunda? I don't know. Did the Acharyas tell us why he's called Mukunda? Kunda means Mukunda. Kunda means lotus, doesn't it? Flower. So this whole thing was about lotuses and offering him a garland of lotus, and he has, so calling Mukunda's face like a lotus, like a flower. Okay, you can give her the microphone.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. So, is my understanding correct that the opulences of a devotee are actually his or her good qualities and the love and the devotion that they have for the Lord? These are the opulences of a devotee?
Well, the devotees, their opulence is their intense desire to serve Krishna. And from there, Krishna may manifest in this world so many other opulences. But in the spiritual world, the opulence the devotees have is simply their desire to serve Krishna. And all the other opulences are just Krishna gives them to them for their service.
So we should actually aspire to get that desire to serve the Lord. That is our real opulence.
That's the only opulence we could possibly have.
Okay, thank you.
Therefore, Jataya was praised not because he defeated Ravana, but because of his desire to protect Sita and serve Ram. Mm. So he lost, but he won. Hala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.